Amen.
Ed, today we're talking about transformation. I'd like you to notice the transformation in me.
Good, Amy.
Do you remember how once I was a guest on a podcast, it took me 5 minutes to try and remember what our vision statement was?
Yes, it wasn't our podcast, but Amy was a guest, and she was asked what Faith in Kids does. Faith in Kids exists for churches and maybe parents, and together we can do something.
We're really lovely.
About children forever with Jesus in churches, all parents. And it just kept going.
It did.
It was fine.
Progress is possible.
Amy, why don't you take a seat?
I'm going to.
Thanks. it's lovely to be here. I'm Ed. This is Amy. We work together at Faith in Kids. Let me tell you about my friend Kate. Kate lives about half a mile from my home. She's a brilliant mum. Her family are about sort of 10 years further on the story than mine. So Kate and Mark have been terrific for us. They're at our church for a long time. We love their kids. And we're in their home a lot. And there was one Sunday when I was in their home, and it was September. And Kate was pacing up and down her kitchen. And I said, Kate, what's the matter? She said, it's ridiculous, Ed. It's pathetic. I said, what is, Kate? I want to drive to Liverpool. So we live in southwest London, so that's a 4-hour drive. Why, Kate? I've dropped Tom off at uni. Tom is her eldest. Dropped him off this week. I plastered his desk with post-it notes, go to church, Tom. I put down the address of his local good church in Liverpool. I said to him, go out your front door, turn right, it's only half a mile. Walk in and just say, I'm Tom and I'm feckless, look after me. It's ridiculous. I've had 18 years with Tom under my roof. The first Sunday I've got rid of him and I want to drive to Liverpool and take him by the hand to his local church. It's pathetic, Ed. I've had so long. Why would I now do it? Dear Kate, she's a mighty Christian woman. And as I heard her explain it, I had so many pennies drop in my mind. That Sunday is the reason we parent. That Sunday when we are not there and we are 1 hour away, 4 hours away, 12 hours away. And we get to say, Lord. But if we're smart, we realize that day has already come. You know, we are already in the Lord's hand. We are already waiting on him for his good purposes. Tom came back about 8 months later, and because I wanted to have a serious conversation with him, and we're both men, I knew we couldn't just have a conversation, so I had to tell him we had to move a table. So we were moving a table, and we were putting it on the ceiling, and I said to Tom, how's it going? It's fine, Ed. Are you going to church, Tom?
Yes, Ed.
Have you got any friends?
Yes, Ed.
Do the mates who aren't Christians make you do weird stuff?
No, Ed. They know I'm a Christian.
At this point, he faintly smiled. I could see across the table as it was going on the roof of the car.
It's all right, Ed. They know I'm a Christian. It's going really well.
And then he gently smiled. Tom's going great. I went to his baptism about 5 years later. He said, being in lockdown at uni was very difficult. I had something of a mental health crisis. I came home because I knew it was where I'd get looked after. And he said, I knew for the first time Jesus Christ is Lord. I could imagine Kate in the front row shouting, do you know how long I was telling you that? How did it take this long? I just wept in the back row. Some American Instagram people have made this video, and it strikes me that in many ways it's basically this story of our kids going off and how as Christians we can think about it. Thank you.
I managed to watch that without crying. First time I definitely cried. Parenting is so like that. It flies and it drags. As a mum of four under fives, I felt like I would never be done with changing nappies and sorting socks. And it was hard to imagine how this was what the Lord wanted for me. As a mum now of four teenagers, how has that happened? There's obviously been some sort of clerical error because my son, my eldest son, has just finished school. How has that happened? It has flown and it has dragged and it has been a wild ride of a roller coaster. And there has been moments when it has brought me absolutely and literally to my knees and to the end of my resources. We're talking today about a transformed goal for our parenting, parenting for the day that we are no longer there. But we're also talking about a transformed hope for our parenting. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about tough times. He's talking about being pressed on every side. He's talking about the struggle and the suffering and the difficulties. And he has something brilliant to say, which I think is really helpful for us as parents. So here we go. Keep going. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Now, I have brought with me today an amazing visual aid. This is my friend, Ed. We have been friends for, I think, nearly 20 years. I met Ed before he had children, and he met me before I had children. And we did kids ministry together at a very similar conference to this one. And Ed, it doesn't feel like you have changed that much.
Which we're all
since
sad about.
We met. But then when I look back at photographs of us in our early days with toddlers, Ed, outwardly, you are wasting away, my friend. Your
Thanks.
Hair yeah. is greyer.
Thank you.
You have more wrinkles.
Yeah.
So do I.
Okay.
We also now need, I need glasses. I was earlier to the glasses game than you. You have just arrived in glasses world. He can't wear them because he still fiddles around with them too much. He feels funny about having them on. Outwardly, we are wasting away. In 10 years' time, we will look worse again. And in 20 years' time, let's imagine. If the Lord spares us, if he hasn't returned, and if we haven't been called home, I can't imagine that we're not going to look the same as we do right now. That is the story of our human life. Outwardly, we are wasting away. But Ed, good news. I have seen transformation in you.
Beth Amy.
Inwardly, we are being transformed day by day. The things that God has brought into Ed's life and into my life, the stuff that we have learnt, the things that he has done in us, we're not quite as stupid as we were. Inwardly, we are being transformed day by day. Thank you, Ed. That was wonderful. So this is my kitchen disco mum that's going to help me remember these principles. I don't know if, like me, you ever did the Macarena or these funny dances at school discos. This really helps me remember the process of the hope of transformation that I have. I have outward, it's going to get worse. Inwardly, it's going to get better. So outward, inward, I have somewhere to keep my eyes fixed, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because I'm going towards an eternal destination. Now, if this was an all-age service, I'd all make you do that. Outward, inward, eyes fixed, eternal. But we're going to make you talk to one another, so I won't make you do that as well. But hopefully, the thought of a kitchen disco that is going to help you think through how to be transformed in the long term. There is a work that God is doing in our hearts and lives. There is a transformation that is happening, and we can trust him to make it happen. Let me tell you a story about my family life. We've had some difficult times, and there's been moments when it has been impossible to imagine how can God be using this situation to bring anything other than hard times. We talked yesterday about being dependent, about coming to a place of dependence on Christ. God uses the toughest situations so often to bring us to a place where we need him and we can depend on him. I can expect God to be at work in me. I can expect his power to be at work in the situation that I currently don't have the answer for. His spirit can do that.
A transformed view of a family. So we've talked about how important it is to just raise our eyes from the immediate in the kitchen, to try to keep a longer term perspective. And we're also touching on the eternal perspective. We have a podcast that we'll tell you about later. And one of the most moving I've ever done was with a Christian couple about their son, Danny. And it's in the last chapter of a book I wrote called Raising Confident Kids. Danny has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and it is a degenerative illness. So Danny is currently coming to the end of primary school when we did this podcast, and he is going backwards in his developmental milestones. So the mum clearly told me with tears that in church now she helps him up for songs, and she feels his hand on her as he just steadies himself to sing. And his dad loves paddleboarding. They live near the sea. And he carries his son onto the paddleboard and places him on it, and he loves doing it. But he has to plan how he's going to get his son, often in a wheelchair, all the way to the sea. So he plans for the tides. The mum spoke about chronic sadness. She says she's in a support group of parents whose children have this illness. And the chronic sadness she sees shared across the support group, none of us have any difficulty imagining that, how it feels when they come together. She says what she notices is that the support group mainly exists to lobby for research and the latest medicine to relieve the symptoms and to maybe wonder if one day to reverse them. She says that's where so much of the energy of the group goes, so much of the energy of the parents goes. And she notices that's not where her husband's and her energy goes. Theirs goes into parenting. He has normal boundaries to behavior. They're encouraging him to share with his sibling. They play with his Lego, but they don't give him too much too early. They're aware they could spoil him. But the dad said something that really struck me. He's a minister. He's been through theological college. He said, I have understood now for a number of years the story of the resurrection. I've always understood it. He said, now there isn't a day that goes by when I don't think about the resurrection of the dead. He said, I can't imagine parenting my son without the thought of the resurrection of the dead. I am so grateful to them. It's helped me to realize all of us have children with a life-limiting condition. All of us, as parents, need to believe in the resurrection of the dead. All of us would benefit from thinking in the same way about our children. They are not ours. Their behavior is not the biggest story. Today is not the biggest story. Tomorrow's tears are not the biggest story. I looked yesterday with you, if you were here, at this verse that I said has become my favorite as we've done a piece of work on identity. Our families, we explained yesterday, are secure because of who we are. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. for us, for our children to be trusting in Jesus, is to have a new identity, a child of God. But in God's kindness, look at the next verse he gives us. A current identity, a future identity. Dear friends, now we are children of God. I love a summary. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The first time I read this, I had to check it and I had to ask some friends, is this right? We shall be like him. I understood glory means without sin, but this for me feels like a step further. Glory is we will be like Jesus, an identity. I wouldn't dare say that unless that was in the Bible. I certainly wouldn't dare say that about my kids. Kids, to be trusting in Jesus is to one day know you will be like him. That is a thrilling thought, and the more we get to know Jesus, the more thrilling it becomes. That is a journey I can absolutely sign up to as a parent. That is a story I want for my kids. I would even say that is the only story I want for my kids. And it massively helps with what I'm trying to argue with really matters today. The argument that's happening in the kitchen. Why won't you just? How many times do I have to tell you? Are we going to go through this again? Like Jesus. Like Jesus. It is the most terrific news. Amy, would you tell us a little of the everyday in our families?
So what difference does this make in a normal everyday life? So I have a picture. Do the clicker. This is my washing machine with Bag for Life from Aldi. It might be Lidl. It's one of them two to make sure that it's definitely my home. It's definitely real. This is a place where I have had to face an ongoing and difficult struggle in our family life a lot. So how the heartache and the ongoing struggle for one of my kids was showing up in our family life at this point was there was a lot of washing to be done from stuff that had been messed. And I found myself on my knees by the washing machine a lot. And sometimes it was in a panic because we needed to get somebody's uniform fixed and back out and back on them to get them back out the door to school. And it felt like a death sentence to our family that was ongoing. And it felt like, how is this doing anything other than making life hard? And my only prayer was, God, make it stop. I am here on my knees again by the washing machine. God, make it stop. And my idea of transformation, how does the gospel transform my family? I have a God to ask to make it stop. God is always after something bigger and better than a sweet machine relationship with him. I'm going to put my prayer requests in, make it stop, press the buttons, out it comes. God is after the long game of a work in my heart and a work in my child's heart. And as I knelt by that washing machine and I started to pray, I realized that God was bringing me to a place of dependence on him, and God was bringing me to a place of dependence on him in just the next 12 hours. Heavenly Father, show up for me today in this. Help me today in this, and help me to see progress in this issue with my son. Help us to have a better conversation today. Help us to pray something today. Help us to see where you show up today. And there was a moment when my son and I were sitting on the floor in his bedroom, and he was broken and wondering if he would ever be okay again. And if I'm really honest, as his mum, I was thinking exactly the same thing. Yeah, I've no idea. And in that moment, I have to then remember, hang on a minute. We are Christians for days like this. And we are Christians for moments like this. So in this, currently, what feels like the darkest, hardest time for us, we can believe and have a certain hope that the God who can raise Jesus from the dead, his spirit, that same spirit, is at work in us in this situation. And suddenly, it was like a little light of hope appeared in that moment. I have an answer beyond my ability to fix it and find help for you. I have a Heavenly Father who I can pray to, and I have a spirit at work in me and at you and in you. And so I can say to my son, this is going to get better. Slowly, we are going to see progress because God is at work in you and God is at work in me. BCUK, Biblical Counselling UK, have an illustration that really helped me. And I thought I'd share it with you today. Progress in the Christian life and transformation in the Christian life looks like a yo-yo going up and down. So it's hard to see in that moment. The yo-yo is going up and down. This feels good and this feels bad. But the yo-yo is going up and down by a person who is walking up the stairs. So the up and down yo-yo is gradually going up the flight of stairs. That is what transformation looks like, and that's the difference that gospel hope makes. We can expect God to be at work. We can expect, because we're heading towards the day when we will be like Jesus, and that promise is definite and absolute, we can expect little baby steps towards that certain future to be happening now. The yo-yo is going up and down. But together, we are going up the stairs. Through prayer, through God's Spirit work, through his word open, through having confidence in his word, we can expect change to happen and progress to be possible. It's been long, it's been hard, it's been difficult. It's required a lot of support from church, family, and it's required prayer. But transformation happens and progress happens, and the gospel gives us hope. Ed, we're doing chatting.
We are. Okay, friends, we're going to turn to someone near us, or we're just going to sit on our own and wonder together. Let me give you a case study, which I'd be amazed if you can't relate to it. You have a child who is struggling with a sense of failure. So that failure, I've given three suggestions. Below average, across the board, in an end-of-term report. The report I've received from my kids' primary school has below average. Expectations, below expectations, above expectations.
We all have them.
Okay, thanks, Amy. So imagine this report is below expectations across the board. Alternatively, your child comes home and talks about a class PE lesson. Everyone seems to be able to participate. Everyone seems to have a go, except your child, who sits on a bench at the side for some reason or another. Or finally, there is a class birthday. I remember this story. A class birthday where, for reasons you can't ever understand, the invitations were handed out in the classroom and your child was the only one who was not given one. Your child comes home with that story. It could even be you have your own story and you don't need me to suggest one. I would love you to wonder, what could your family look like to be transformed? It might not be in the first conversation when you hear it, when you open it, when you look at it, but maybe a day later, maybe a week later, what could a transformed conversation look like? How could the gospel transform these moments? How could a different vision change the conversation? Have a think, have a wonder, or literally talk about anything at all. And we'll hear from you in a few minutes and we'll have a chat. Okay, friends, it is our pleasure.
Matt's ready with his yellow microphone.
Oh, he's off. It is our pleasure to say that these three stories, Amy and I have them covered between us. So there's a name we could put to each of these three stories. So I'll do the first one and the third one. Amy's going to do the second one. And then you can wonder with us and you can ask a question if you've got one. So the first one, there's clearly a temptation for how do I fix it? What sort of tutoring is needed? What sort of What sort of homework haven't I been doing? Why have I been handing in his homework and not my efforts at his homework? How many conversations with a teacher are needed? These are thoughts that could go through all of your head. Personally, the thought I have realized is I have got to say out loud, nothing will be changed if this continues to be the story. Nothing of significance will be changed in your life if this continues to be the story. I will not love you less. Your mum will not love you less. Jesus will absolutely not love you less. His plans for your life, which are brilliant and for your good, will not change. Do we trust him with this? Amy, tell us about a PE lesson.
So one of my sons has a disability which affects his leg, cerebral palsy, affects the side of his body. So PE was an ongoing heartache for him, and sports day was possibly the worst day of his life. And he would run to not be last. And it was really hard. And those were the moments that he would say to me, why has God given me a wobbly leg? And they were the conversations to have that were great. Why has God given you a wobbly leg? I don't know. But can I see how God is using your wobbly leg to do a brilliant work in your heart and mind? Can I see amazing developments of your resilience, your care for others, your insight into what it means to not be able to do stuff? Do I see how this changes you and me to understand how to include others, how to be kind, how to be more like Christ? Can I see God doing a good thing in this? Yes. Yeah, I can. Can I share with you in the heartache of how hard this is? Yeah. Can we have tears? And can we cry about it together? And can we take it to the Lord? And can sometimes I organise an appointment on sports day so you don't have to go? Yes. But if I only did that and never had the conversation, I would just be trying to say there's nothing to learn here. And I can trust my Heavenly Father that he gives us something brilliant to learn together here, and we can lean into it. Ed?
Very briefly, a great big hug through the tears. A great big squeeze. You are so loved. How mean? I don't know why that would have happened. Maybe it was a mistake, or maybe someone really is that mean. I don't know. I'm really sorry. I hope we would never do that to anyone. I hope we would know how to include people. I hope we would know how to plan a birthday party. I hope we would wonder a bit longer about who needs to be included. And I hope we know you're never going to be alone. You are never going to be left out by Jesus. If you could pick between this girl or Jesus to be your forever friend, which would you pick? And why? Could you explain it back to me? Could you explain back to me why it's better? Are there questions? Are there thoughts? Are there insights you've had? Are you wondering something before we go on? Take a breath. Enjoy the awkward silence. Anyone thinking anything? Anyone wondering anything?
Ed, can I ask a question as I've got the mic?
Thanks, Matt.
How do we stop the gospel just almost being a platitude? So, because yeah. I was just talking to Jenny, that the danger is that for our kids, these things feel huge.
Yeah.
They're massive.
And yeah.
So I just wonder, sometimes is there a danger that we just say, well, it's okay because Jesus loves you?
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, but actually this is awful.
Yeah.
Any advice on how we do that so it doesn't just feel like an add-on?
Yeah, brilliant. And the story of me giving an answer to this situation in four sentences is this situation was really not done in four sentences. This was really not over. So, first of all, it took weeks for us to work out what on earth do we say. And clearly, a whole bunch of wrong steps got taken. But I just, on the point you're asking, though, a platitude, I think there is a fight in our heads and hearts between what you think this could sound like to someone else.
I've got a Jesus sticker for that.
Exactly. You know, What are our neighbours thinking about our bumper sticker that I love Jesus? Fight that temptation of this sounds ridiculous. And do you believe this to be true? So I definitely want to say the thing that could sound like a platitude to someone else is what I'm building my life on. Is the only thing I've got as a parent. So that means I will take greater care over when I say it, how I say it. I will avoid it being, don't worry, we trust Jesus, like a character from The Simpsons. And I will work out, where am I going to have the conversation? Oh, hang on, this is a moment. This is a moment where my child is listening and there aren't tears and I do love them, so I'll ask a question. So thanks very much. But it's great. Anyone else? Great, up here. There's one there and there's one here. Yeah.
So we were thinking about the opposite side of that and how it is with a child who's maybe, if you are aware that your child is the overachiever or maybe the bully or the one in the class who wants to be and is the best at everything. And you see that playing out. And how do you tackle the one who's on the opposite end of the spectrum?
Great question. I don't have any of those. I think the gospel humbles us all. I think that's when we have to look at the Bible and say, how do we see people acting here? How do we see the one who had all power and all ability and every right to brag? How does he treat others? Who is he including? I would be looking at Jesus and trying to say, what could he have claimed? What could he have been like? And what is he like? And why is that so appealing? And how are we going for something better? I'd be trying to have those kind of conversations.
Thanks so much. And there was a question down here. Thanks, Matt.
Similar to my question yesterday, but with a bit of a caveat, is how are we able to model the answers to these questions or to these situations to our children in a way that helps kind of knock it on the head before the time comes that you have to have the conversation all at once? And B, in doing that, what have you both experienced and succeeded in creating healthy boundaries on what to share and what not to share as parents counseling youngsters?
Can I just check? Are you saying what have Amy and I learned about sharing because we are standing on a stage telling people about our families? No.
It's more that when you tackle these questions and tackle these issues, how do you navigate your boundaries of what to share with them about potentially your own life, all your own experiences, and what to reserve and not share with them as a parent in a relationship?
Yeah, so I think the stuff as a parent in my struggles in my relationship is not age appropriate to share with them or complex to share with them. But there are simple things that I can share that relate. So I can say, I could talk about times when I felt sad because I found something hard or times when I felt left out because this group of women were doing this and I wasn't invited. And I think I don't want to overshare all of my life and burden my children with here are the things that I'm struggling with right now because there's a rightness of this isn't your burden because I am your parent and I take my own burdens. But there is I'm letting you in to a window of faith of how my faith makes a difference in my everyday life. So I think I would choose simple struggles. And I would choose simple joys, and I would be trying to say, can I show you, not I need you to help me with this and I need you to fix it, but can I show you how my faith makes a difference here? So there's a lot of walks to school with my kids when I would be saying, look at this amazing thing that I love. Now, I'm a big fan of leaves and bugs, and I would be talking about how brilliant is God? How much does he care about detail? So there's the normal chats, and then I might say, oh, I was a bit sad today because something didn't go very well, and I had to remind myself of what I believe, and I read in my Bible today this. So I'm letting you in a way that helps you see Jesus is at work in me too, rather than a way that adds an emotional burden to you, that you now have to worry more about me. A window.
Just a very small thing to add. I'm an ex-engineer, so I'm a bit of a data geek, and there's some research that's been found that says it is good for our children to hear us not know the answer in faith, because otherwise they think to be a Christian you have to know all the answers. And I think that element of trying to be the strong dad, the strong mum, makes it harder just to say, this is awful. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I can't imagine how you coped. I wouldn't have been able to. And to stop. You know, in other words, for them to hear you say, that sounds awful. Sorry. I don't know what you should do. And that's okay. Thanks.
The most powerful lesson I ever taught my kids on prayer was we were on holiday, my husband had ruptured his Achilles, and I suddenly had to drive a van that I'd never driven before on the wrong side of the road in France, and it was
with the right side, with everyone else in France.
Breaking my hand as I could reach for the gear stick in the wrong position, and it was terrifying, and I did a lot of crying, and I asked my children, will you pray for mummy? I have to park the van in the stressful car park. And they prayed for me. And boy, have they learned that it's really safe to mum to come to mum with things that might feel silly and ask for prayer, because mum did it too.
I'm just going to finish our time. And it's not quite enough time. So I hope it's not ridiculous to try and do it quickly. But we're just going to quickly talk about church, because it would be a mistake to talk about transformed families and not touch on this. I love this section. This is Moses on the edge of the promised land. The people are about to go in. He is not. He has to give them the last sermon for how will they live under God in the promised land without him. What does he say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It starts there. It starts there. The Lord has every bit of us. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. It is about hearts, not obedience. It is about hearts, not rules. It is about hearts, not commandments. It's about hearts, not habits. Impress them on your children. With all of your strength, it's on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Do you see the flow? You cannot give your child what you don't have. And it's got to be your heart, not an outward religion. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I love that this is to all of God's people. I love that mum and dad are thinking this through and the kids are saying, okay, I'm clear on what we've got to do. And I love that there's another bloke there and there's another woman here and they're thinking, right, okay, if I'm ever with him and we're walking along a road, I know what I've got to do. On our podcast, we had a guest called Morena. Brilliant, single mum, two teenage kids. She said that week she had pushed her two kids into church and shouted at them, talk to anyone. She said, I was sick of them. They were sick of me. It had been a battle to get them to church. I love my church. I did not care who they talked to, but I needed them to talk to someone. She's saying, I hope that someone listens carefully and prays with them at the end, because I need church before we walk out the door again. It's this. Who is the kid you're going to grab and walk along the road with? Who is the adult who's going to grab your kid and walk along the road with? There's some research called Sticky Faith, which asked the question, how do you keep faith into adulthood? And they found the number 5 is critical. Every child growing up in a Christian home needs 5 spiritual role models deeply embedded in their life. It takes a village to raise a child. Mum might be there, dad might be there, some particularly precious Sunday school leader might be there, some granny figure in church might be there, some younger brother in faith might be there, some older sister in faith might be there, some student who gets adopted into your family for their 3 years in your city might be there. Who are the 5? We get to say to our church, who's your one? Does everyone in our church have one? It's quite hard to think, goodness, I've got three children, they each need five, that's quite a lot of people. Maybe you can have one who shares. I want to finish just by showing you a video that I found terrific. They didn't mean to make this about church, but I think this is about church. This is about walking along the road with another child.
Come in. Oh, hi, Your Honor. Yes, come on in.
Braverman.
Great. All right, yes, I...
This is Salsa. He's a lizard.
This'll take a while.
That's a good idea.
Okay, all right. Come on in. Come in, please. Come in. Okay. Close the door. Okay, everyone, please. Hello, everyone, please. All right, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so Joel and Julia Graham.
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
So now you understand that by signing this adoption agreement form, you agree to take care of Victor as your own legal child, right? To provide for his health, his welfare, his educational needs.
We do.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Victor, do you understand? Do you agree to this adoption?
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, well, then, unless anyone has anything to add, I'm ready to make it official.
Your Honor, if I may. As grandparents, my wife Camille and myself will do the best we can to give Victor what we've given our own children, which is our undying love and support. And also, being a baseball aficionado, I would like to teach him the art of fielding the hot grounder.
Okay.
But hey, that can wait till later. And...
Your Honor, I'm sorry, if I may, I'm Adam Braverman. I'm Deacon Camille's oldest son, and I promise to be your uncle. Listen, your Aunt Christine and I are no substitute for your stellar parents, but we promise to be there for you no matter what.
You can always come to me, Victor, if you need help, and I promise I won't rat you out to your mom. I can give you dating advice.
Then I can help repair the terrible damage that her dating advice does.
Okay.
I'm willing to teach you how to ride a motorcycle and play an instrument. Your girl troubles will vanish immediately once you know those two things.
Yeah. And you can come to my house anytime. We can play Xbox and you can sleep over and stuff.
Now that you're adopted, you can officially hold my lizards.
Okay.
I promise to love you, buddy.
Yeah. No matter what.
Me too. Okay.
It's quite a family you're coming into. All right, on this day, January 24, 2013, Joel and Julia Graham have officially adopted Victor Graham. You're now legally their child. You have all the rights of any natural child.
Okay.
I will hereby sign this order confirming the adoption.
All right.
Yes!
Judge, can I use your gavel?
Sure, why not?
Send him.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sorry.
Beautiful family.
There's something, aren't they?
You've got quite a family. That's been my story. The judge on our particular day had chocolate buttons under his wig. Which was then produced for our kids to enjoy as our adoption was finalised. We've got quite a family. Here are my kids, and here are two people in my church family who I would be insane without. This is the very lovely and very dear, and I'm going to get emotional, Peter and Narelle, who stepped up for my family and for me. And I know that in Christian circles, it can feel like in that moment of difficulty, people step back. And sometimes that is our experience and it hurts. But there are people who step up. And normally they step up because they have confidence that they have something to offer. Peter and Narelle's confidence that they had something to offer my family was that they kept consistently saying, God has you. you are the right parents for your children and that you can trust him. Their calm confidence in God, their inability to be shaken by crisis, and their practical care. Norell makes the world's most delicious lasagna. And as a family in crisis that needed to attend appointments and be all over the place and have a lot on, a woman that would turn up with a hug in a dish and hand it to you to say, I've made you your tea, don't worry about the dish, I'll pick it up another time. What it took for them was to be consistently calm, consistently present, make a lasagna and pray. Suddenly, that's possible. They made the world of difference to me and to my kids and held us together in prayer and practically. We can do that for one another, and we can be honest enough to need that from one another. That is church at its best. Transformation happens in churches.
So for the last 2 minutes, why don't you turn to someone next to you? Why don't you think about either? What could transformation progress look like that seeks to do more than just make it stop? In other words, is there one step you take away from this morning? One step of, could we go again with this idea? Or how could church family lean in? How could church family lean in? Just take 2 minutes. What is the one thing you want to take away as you walk out the door? Only one. We'll come back in 2 minutes. Friends, I will keep talking as you just end your conversation. I'd love just to tell you briefly about three ways Faith in Kids could help you. The first is we do a Faith in Kids for Kids podcast, about 25 minutes long, me and my friend Jam. Each episode we take a small bit of the Bible, we explain it in record quick time, but we get the family talking about it. We get a question for every age group, from three-year-olds up to teenagers. And there's a song at the end. We say that if you're not in the habit of opening a Bible with your kids, will you let us do it for you? And if you're driving at 60 miles an hour, your children cannot leave your family Bible time. So it's perfect for that. We've also got a podcast that Amy and I present together. They come out fortnightly. This was the first one we did that was really worrying. This was the one that we got the team praying about the night before it dropped. Because this is the first time we felt we were doing something a bit controversial. No one has ever complained, and this is the most popular episode we've ever done. Our five top episodes have been this one on sexuality, one on gender identity, parenting boys, parenting girls, talking about bodies, and Halloween. 4/5 of our podcasts are not about the human body and extremely awkward things, but it turns out the more difficult the topic, the more people want to hear us talking about it. So maybe these can help you. And then I mentioned a book I'd written with the help of the team called Raising Confident Kids in a Confusing World. Much of what Amy and I have been talking about today is in that book. You can find it on the bookstore, you could find it on the web. The last thing you could do to help us is the content, the things we've been saying this morning, have had their first outing for you this morning. We're about to take these to 14 cities around the UK this year. If you could give us feedback at this point, you'd be saving a lot of people a lot of pain in the future. If you could scan that QR code and give us 10 words of feedback before you head into the next session, we would be so forever grateful. 15 people filled it in yesterday, and we've really studied their feedback, and we're going to work hard on it.
You're our favourites.
Amy, could you pray for us?
Yes. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are our perfect Heavenly Father, and we do thank you that we can have complete confidence in your ability to be at work in us and to transform us. We pray that today we might start to see the baby steps of your Spirit at work in us, in our children and in our families to transform us. Help us to trust you more and love you more. Amen.
Amen.